Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
Welcome to another episode of Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Reuben Dockery. We're grateful that you have joined us, and we hope that tonight we will be able to have yet another fruitful dialogue. Talk Straight is a format, a podcast, broadcast that's sponsored by Building Families and Communities Institute Incorporated. And our focus is to engage in national dialogue that will help address issues confronting particularly at-risk youth in urban America. All right, for about 2.5 years now, we've enjoyed substantive dialogue, and we appreciate each of you that have participated with us over the years. If you would like to join us in this conversation, you could do so two ways. You can call us in the studio here live, and we can have you in with us as we do our regular callers that join us, and we hope to hear from them soon, particularly Pastor Ricky Waller, our co-host. You can call the number 657-383-0944. Again, that number is 657-383-0944. 0944. Excuse me, it's a little warm in our studio here tonight. Or you can post a question or comment via Facebook right here in the live stream. Either way, we will be able to engage you and include you in our conversation. As you heard in the announcement with the commercial, BFC Institute is still soliciting your support for our 501c3 nonprofit organization based in Nashville, Tennessee. We're grateful for your support. You allow us to make ourselves around in various areas. In fact, this next week I'll be at a local university sharing a lecture. And when you support us financially, we're able to do so and offset the cost. And that's how we're able to travel the cities. Now, as you know, I'm running as a candidate for the 19th Senatorial District in Tennessee. But that does not stop us from what we do here with our work that we've been doing for the last 20-plus years with BFC Missions Incorporated, which is an umbrella under which BFC Institute Research Arm works. And so nonetheless, having got rid of all of those preliminaries now, we'll get right to it. I have a very short monologue, and so we'll open up our phone lines. Looks like we have a few in queue already, And again, we're looking forward to hearing from Pastor Ricky Walla as well as our other callers there. But you, more importantly, we invite you to join us. 657-383-0944. That's the number to call right here so that you can participate with us live in studio. If you have a question or comment, feel free to share that via Facebook. All we ask is that you make it relevant to our topic, as well as that we show respect and courtesy to one another. I said it many times before, I don't expect anyone or everyone to agree with what I have to say. But although I strive to provide some factual basis and information that we're sharing with you, but we certainly welcome and honor your ideas and your participation there. And so we'll get right into it here. I think this is a topic that may be relevant to us all. We can all identify with. The late, great Marvin Gaye shared in one of his hit songs that there are three things for sure: taxes, death, and trouble. Now, in everybody's life, there is certain to be some kind of challenge. In fact, the birth process was a fight. Fight to get here, fight while you're here, and many of us are fighting to stay around as long as we can. Our measure of character is not assessed by how many challenges or the nature of our challenges that we face. I would argue to the contrary. It is measured how we respond and how we maintain ourselves. Each tear that we cry from our experience, there is a lesson, not only for us, but for us to pass on to the next generation that are coming up behind us so that they won't have to repeat the same thing. How about that? So join Pastor Waller and the rest of our panel tonight as we share this topic, how to put the fires, how to put out the fires in your life. That's what we're talking about tonight. How to put out the fires in Doctor's life, your life, and my life, all of our lives. All right? Very brief monologue. And Mary J. Blige is going to be in with us symbolically. Yeah, but there's a lesson. Hebrews 11:1, very, very, very familiar passage of text, says very simply, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. May I paraphrase just for a moment? I intend to add to the Bible. See if you can put this pen in there right here. Now faith, my belief, is based on the stuff, the ingredients of my life experience, sum total, that I done been through. I'm glad I don't look like what I've been through. And everything I done been through and overcome is the hope and the evidence of what I'm looking forward to tomorrow. So my faith is based on where I come from, huh? And it serves as the hope and the evidence for things I reach for tomorrow. My. Listen, we're taught that by fire safety specialists, you know, they come in and teach you how to put your smoke detectors in and make sure you got fire extinguishers around the house and in your businesses, schools, and places like that, right? And they taught us that the proper way to use a fire extinguisher when a fire, because if you use it wrong, you can exacerbate the fire and spread it, right? They taught us the proper way to do that is to point, it's called PASS, that's the acronym they use, point, aim, squeeze, and sweep. Point, in the direction of the flame, aim it in front of the flame. This is your fire extinguisher. Then squeeze your knob or your trigger and sweep at the base of the fire from one side to the other. Now, I believe that there's some symbolism here in terms of the fires in our lives. Some of us have reached an age and we're still putting out fires. We can't figure out why and how and where these fires keep flaring up, though. Look like when you put out one fire, my God, here come another one. Listen, let me tell you how to keep your good fire extinguisher next to you. Well, there's a way to use the fire extinguisher for your actual fire, but consider this. Consider this as an extinguisher for the fires in your life. Point, by that I mean, make sure you're honest with yourself. Bible said you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So point out the truth about your personal circumstance. Sometimes it don't look good, it don't sound good. But if you be honest with the man or the woman in the mirror, you can go somewhere. So tell the truth to yourself. I know I'm fat-headed and good-looking, but what can I do about that? I didn't ask for this. You came like that. You understand what I'm saying? So tell the truth to yourself. Point to the circumstances in your life. Tell them, I see you. Oh, yeah, I recognize you for who and what you are, good and the bad. When you point them out, then set goals. Yeah, I may be messed up today, but guess what? My today is not going to be my tomorrow. I'm setting goals. I'm working toward the end. Huh? Yeah. Set goals to overcome your trouble. Be honest, though, about what you can and what you can't do. Circumstances may be going on around you, and I can't stop everything. I can't stop everybody, but I sure can control doctrine. Sometimes I may just have to say, hold up, stop everything. Shut everything down. Turn the machine off until we can fix the jam. You don't need of us keeping the machine going and jamming itself up even more. We lose production like that. We lose time like that. We stand still like that. Set some goals for yourself. Then, watch this, y'all. it's time to squeeze that trigger now, baby. Pull the trigger with everything you got. Press toward the mark of your success. Don't let nothing or nobody stop you. Pushing forward the way you want to be. Talking about putting out these fires in your life. Then lastly, sweep. This is the part that most of us have a problem with. Don't y'all know that the Williams brothers said you better sweep around your own front door before you try to sweep around mine? Every now and then, brothers and sisters, beloved, we have got to do some cleaning. Yeah. I'm talking about move that couch, pull that refrigerator back, pull that dresser back, and sweep and clean up the mess around and about us. That means in your inner circle, so-called friends and acquaintance, some of them, somebody say got to go. Look at your neighbor and say, you got to go. You may not leave here. You may not go home, but you got to leave here. Yeah. You got to move certain things and certain people out of your path. What the enemy tries to do is to hold us hostage to the mistakes, to the misgivings, and the things that we've done that cause us trouble. All right, accept it now. Point them out. Yeah. Aim to deal with them and pull the trigger on change. And guess what? We can sweep those things and other things out of our lives. I said out of our lives. It's possible, but it's up to us to do that. How to put out the fires in your life. Let me just for a second, and we got our callers in queue. I'm coming right to you, caller. 657. 383-0944 is the number to call if you want to join in tonight. Hit me up on Facebook here. Drop me a question or comment. We'd be happy to entertain you. Let me listen to Mary J. Blige. This pretty girl right here. Boy, I'm telling you the truth. I said, you know, back in the 90s, I believe it was 2009, she put this song out. And she said something right here. She said, listen to that for a second.
Ice cream all night long.
You know what though, 8112? I love ice cream, but he don't love me back. You know what I'm saying?
Don't
you
don't
leave.
I had to leave. Mm-mm. But sometimes we like those things that's not good for us.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. In fact, 3072, B.B. King said it like this. It's my own fault that you treat me the way you do.
Mm-hmm.
How about that? How about that?
Mm-hmm.
What's that, Brother Richard? Yeah. You want to say something about that before I turn it over to Pastor 3072?
I mean, that was a good example. I haven't been to the gym in 2 months now, and
uh-oh.
Wonder why I'm sagging.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, so it's my own fault.
Oh, you did.
And I'm in bed eating Oreo cookies now, y'all.
I know you ain't. Listen, 37. I know you ain't got no cookies in your mouth.
Yeah, I got some cookies.
Well. Pastor Wally, help us out now. We're in trouble now. We need a preacher in our life right now.
Something that I haven't always been, and you're talking about the fire and how to put it out. When you don't have the right equipment, by myself, and I did all I could to put it out, but it didn't work.
Okay.
And so I had to holler for help. Yeah, I had to make sure that I called on someone that I heard about that could help me put the fire out. See, there are times when someone has to help you, and that's what
okay.
I had to through my remembrance that it's like a mother that I knew loved me, and I couldn't do certain things that she had to help me do it. And so I got to a point where mother couldn't even help me.
Wow.
So I realized the fire that I was dealing with was a little too hot for me to put out. And just had to be honest with myself and let it be known that there's nothing wrong with hollering for help because that's what the Word of God says, you know. Psalms 121 in verse 1 says, I will lift up my eyes into the hills from which comes my help. And my help comes from the Lord. I didn't know him, but I took a chance. Just like I took a chance and got caught up in the fire. I had to take a chance on someone to help me get out of it.
Get out the fire. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Well,
I hear you on that.
Yeah, I'm glad
I did. Hold on. Hold your thoughts, 3072. Someone on Facebook want to know what the topic is. We're talking tonight about how to put out the fires in your life. That's what we're talking about. I'm sorry, 3072. Go right in.
No, I'm sorry to cut Pastor Waller off. I was just going to say that he just raised a very good point. I mean, first, again, you have to recognize that there's a blaze, that there is a fire. Man, it's burning up. Yeah. So if you are not honest with yourself about it being a fire and it's hot in here and take off all your clothes, I mean, you just don't stay inflamed and engulfed, I mean, and burning more and more till you're just a rubble of ashes. I mean,
that's
I think that's the hardest part is just being honest with yourself about what it is and what needs to be done.
Great point. You're talking to me now, 3072, you're talking to me now. You just hit me upside the head. You know, oftentimes, guys, when we are to be a good citizen, a servant to others, we overlook our own needs. And we got fires that are burning. They may not be big fires. They're small fires, right? And we ask ourselves, where does all this come from? Well, the reality is when we have unfinished business that we need to attend to and we're so preoccupied dealing with other folks' stuff, we overlook our own fire.
Yeah.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
Y'all heard the expression, where there's smoke, there's what? There's some fire somewhere,
fire.
Right?
Yeah.
But to your point, 3072, we have to be honest with ourselves that the origin of the smoke is a flame somewhere that we have to deal with. And sometimes, even in our best efforts to help others, we have to say, hold on for a second. I got some personal businesses. Ain't nothing wrong with that. It's 8112. I got to take care of me right quick for a second. See, is that
not
right,
at all. I'm here. I said not at all. It took me a while to get that part because I had a problem with saying no to people. And
yeah.
When they get through slapping you upside your head for exercise or whatever, that problem twinkles down to none almost.
Mm-hmm. And look, so even with trying to help people, I mean, you can give advice, but and I'm just going to put this out there. Nowadays, people don't want advice. They want you to do it. They want you to fix it for them.
What? Say what?
No,
what?
Yeah, I don't need you to tell me what to do. I need rats. I need okay, so I can tell you how to get all that. They don't want that. Right.
And you can't fix it. And it took me a long time to get that. And I was like, I guess they got a good valid point. I can't solve every problem. Something my own I don't know how to solve.
I can give you advice, but if I'm taking every free moment I have away running your errands and all the overtime I work, I'm paying your light bill and trying to, right, I'm suffering then.
So you're saying, you sweating and panting, and they laying back chilling. That's what you're saying, 37 to 10?
Yeah, right. And that's why they don't want advice, because they don't want to be sweating and panting. Yeah, they'd rather watch you.
Okay. I got the 0390 on the line with us. Welcome to the conversation. We're talking from the topic, how to put out the fires in your life. We ain't talking about nobody else but you now. I'm talking about Doctor now. I'm looking at myself in the mirror. Welcome to the conversation. Question coming?
Well, I'm going to tell you, Doc. Yes, definitely. And thanks, everybody, the young lady that gives her comments as well. I respect everyone's comments. And I'm glad this is pointed at ourselves versus someone else. Because a lot of times when we get to talking about self, what happens, ladies and gentlemen, people start to get quiet.
Mm.
They don't want to talk about self. But it's easy to talk about someone else, but not self. So I'm glad that this was brought up. Now, myself, when I first started this journey 10 or 12 years ago, I had asked God for something, and it's one thing that we have to be careful. When we ask God to give us the truth, can we handle it? That's the thing. Can we handle
that's the question.
It? So on an everyday basis, God is always showing me what I need to know, okay? And I think the truth is the water to putting out the fire in yourself. And so I know a lot of y'all like, well, where did you get that? Keep seeking the truth and see if you like it. See if you digest. Because there's a lot of stuff that I know that I don't like to know, but I know it, and I have to know it because, once again, it's what I ask God for.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay. Pastor Waller, what's that address you always giving us about the truth? Where can we find that?
John 8:32.
What it say?
And you shall know the truth, and truth shall make you. See, when you don't have the truth, there's no freedom in it. Once you get the truth, it's loaded with freedom. But you shall know the truth first, and that's the thing. And I love that.
Wait a minute, hold on, Pastor.
Yeah,
Pastor, this is a new day. This is a new day. You mean, Tim, we can't read it like this? We can't, because this is 2018 now. Come on now. We can't say you may know the truth or you could know the truth and it might set you free. Is that what you can we do it like that?
I was finding it effective. You know, I was finding it effective. It probably would sound good. You know, that's how I got in the fire. Stuff that sounds good, and it feel good, and it looked good. But it wasn't good at all, you know.
Right.
And that's where the fire started. At 37:2 was saying it started to ignite even more because, you know, being in that fire without hollering for help, It only caused me to say, okay, I've done all that I can do, and I'm doing the best that I can to get out of it.
It's
not working. Right. And then you know, you make that move, and that's why he says before John 8:31, he says, if you continue in my word. You know,
wait. That means I got to do some work, man? Come on, now. You think I
got to do something? It's a continuation because there's no stopping because the fire can start right back when you stop. You know, you stop. And that's why you change the thing. Yeah. This means you don't have to. But if you continue in my word, you know, you indeed, in other words, he got claim of you. But if you stop, according to his word, his claim for you stopped. I'm talking about me now. It stopped at that point. So what I had to do was I had to get personal with it and make sure that I would leave nothing and nobody stop this continuation. Because if I stop 37-2, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going back to the fire, even though I know it was blazing hot.
Wow.
And I couldn't have it. So I must continue to know the truth. You know, and that's what made me free. Yes, sir.
Pastor Wallace, you're disturbing me tonight because you're telling me I can't. Are you telling me I have to keep be constant with this thing? I can't just do it one time and just let it go. You're disturbing my peace tonight.
Yeah, man. I tell you, it was personal. It wasn't nothing against you, man. It was just something that I heard you say. how to put out the fire in your life, you know. So I was like, man,
bye,
I gotta
bye,
be honest.
Bye, bye.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, man, I was on. Hey, man, it was too hot for me, man. I mean, the things that I thought I was never going to get out of, man, gave me an opportunity to get out, and now I'm expensive. I just don't want to go back into it.
I am proud of you. That's the
thing.
That's
my deal.
I feel you.
Yeah.
And I've witnessed guys, Pastor Waller, literally on the block, like John in the wilderness, crying loud all by himself. And it seemed like, well, nobody's paying attention. You understand what I'm saying? But I tell you what, if you be not weary and you're well-doing, you shall receive a word. Listen, I called up Brother Don Rich. I called up one of my friends because I told her I want her to help me with this conversation tonight. And I asked her, what happens if we don't clean up ourselves and get ourselves together. Listen to what her name is Betty Wright, and listen to what she said. Listen to what Betty said. Sometimes the work that we got to do on ourselves is dirty and nasty. But guess what? If we don't do it, it ain't going to get done. It ain't going to get done.
That's it.
I got a new caller, 847-5497. We're talking from the topic how to put out the fires in your life. We're making this personal tonight. Welcome, caller, to Talk Straight. Questions or comments?
I was listening to the speeches and stuff and the comments that people were making. And, well, for me, the way I think about it is, first of all, you don't want to get a fire. So God give you all the knowledge and understanding to try not to put you in a situation like that. That's the first thing. But the thing about it, sometimes a fire is good. Fire is a natural cleanser. You got three cleansers in the world on this earth. You got fire, which is heat. You got to clean stuff, like when you blow in rust or whatever. And then you got water. Sometimes, you know, we're too busy worrying about the situation, whatever comes in our life. First of all, we put ourselves in certain situations, you know, that we can avoid. That's to avoid a fire. But sometimes God put us in a situation where we got so much stuff on us that he got to burn that off, and we just got to wear out the storm and focus on him, and let the true fireman put out the fire instead of us trying to fan the fire out and making it big.
I get you.
You understand?
You
know?
Great point.
You know, we just...
Great point.
You know, the thing about it is, you know, people are always so worried about their circumstances instead of focusing on, you know what, I need to focus on God to get me through this. I can't focus on my own doing this and doing this. You know, you're going to be swinging in the wind. You got to focus on God and ask God to give you strength, and then ask God to give you wisdom. Why am I going through this? You
call
know?
Because
most...
Call hey,
yes.
Carl, I don't mean to cut you off. I'm feeling you on that, but I need to play the devil's advocate right now. Okay.
Okay.
So is that all right? Y'all don't mind if
that's
the rest
right.
of callers. Y'all don't mind. Yeah. So I'm gonna wear the devil's hat right now for a second. Can I do that for a second?
Yeah.
Now the last time I got in the fire, and I called on God. I guess he was sleeping on that day.
Okay.
Now, what you say about that?
All right.
You say he was sleeping about it?
Okay. Y'all ready?
Yo, hold on, Don. Hold on. Let me. I'm coming to you, Don. Let me go to 5497. Oh, we're about to get hot up in here now. I'm coming
right
to
you, said
Don.
He was,
go ahead, 50.
You said he was sleeping on that because you didn't get what you want? See, that's the thing about
it.
Sometimes we're so focused on, sometimes in a fire, somebody looking at a clear bottle or something, and it might be, they think it's water, but it might be alcohol. You know what I'm saying? You focus on one solution for it, and God got a purpose. Well, you know what? I got to keep him right here so he can stay on this, because you know what? Most of the time, where a person is, whether it's good or bad or whether they have fire, you're where you at. Because of some of those fires. You understand what I'm saying? Some of those bad things that happen
right
in your life, mate. Yeah.
I feel you holding thought. That's juicy, big brother. Let me go to Don. And I think these ladies got something to say, too. What you say about it, Don? I'm ready for you.
Here we go, ladies and gentlemen. All right. So it's funny that God allowed himself to take off that day just to see how much you really have. He allows the devil to come in and do what he does. But he still wants to see how much you're going to rely on him. I don't care if you get burnt hard and move. If you have to stay focused on God.
Yep.
You understand what I'm saying? So
So
you can get burned all over, but it's not the feeling. You get to think about it. Because when you get to thinking about God, guess what? The water has already, the fire's out, regardless to what the devil is doing. So never pay attention to the burning sensation. It's nothing. It's
I'm done with y'all. I see y'all swinging blows now. Pastor Waller, hold on. I see they swinging blows tonight. What you got to say?
I was just going to say that, I mean, I look at God in my life as being pretty practical. Oftentimes people will talk about waiting on God and, you know, just pray to the Lord. And, yes, we should do that. But like Mr. Rich was saying, it could be God is waiting on you to get up too. He's waiting to see what you're going to try to do. Because, again, he sent his son here to down the cross, not for him to have to, in 2018, drop down from the sky and push your car with you.
Again,
I just feel like while you praying and while you waiting, you need to be putting some action with that faith because it's dead without works.
But I'm stuck on Don's premise. See, Don's premise is, Pastor Waller, that God took off. He took a vacation. Now that kind of messed me up, Don. I'm gonna be honest with you now. I'm playing the devil now, Don. I'm the big devil. Don, that kind of messed me up right there, man. You said you mean to tell me God, you verify that God took off? Is that what you're saying?
I'm verifying he took off for a purpose. I know it sounds so horrible.
He took off
to test your faith. He doesn't do it every now and then. God does this every day. You know how I know? Because we are continuous to fighting the flesh. Not every minute, every second, every day. So what's in days? In days, in a 24-hour time span, you have seconds, hours, minutes, et cetera, et cetera. So it's not every other day. It's every day. It's a continuous battle. He's going to continue to allow the devil in there. He just wants to see if you're going to use him as that water. If you're using him as that water, you have nothing to worry about.
All right. Let me go to 5497. Pastor, don't go nowhere. Don't run, Pastor. Don't run now. Go ahead, 5497.
You know why everybody talking? And when you was talking about waiting to see, this reminds me of a story I learned when I was little. The story of Job. See, people don't think that the devil, everything that happens, whether it's good or bad, they got to go to God. God has authority over everything. Even like in a movie, the devil can't look at God. The devil had to go to report to God all the time. Look, I got to do this. I want to do this. And sometimes you never know. God is sitting down there watching him and the devil. He's saying, "Look at that man right there. You know what? That man is a good man. He follows. He does everything I say. You know, he slips here and there, but you know, he's a good man." And the devil says, I bet you if I do this, I bet you he won't worship you, or I bet you he'll turn his back on you. And sometimes God says, you know what, do a little this, do a little that, but don't kill that man or don't do this to that man, and we'll see if he's going to fall in faith. And that's sometimes that's what happens with us, you know. They sitting back watching us to see what we're going to do.
But let me go to Pastor Waller. Pastor Waller. Now I still got the devil head on. I got his cock face Duke at 1 o'clock, Pastor.
Yeah, man. I can only imagine, you know, not knowing God. I can only imagine. That's all I can say. I don't want to mess up anybody's groove, but it's a time when I just didn't know God. I didn't know anything about David. I didn't know anything about Jonah. I didn't know anything about Paul. I didn't know anything about Moses. I didn't know anything about any of them guys. That's why when you say something about the fire being put out on your life. And we're not talking about one fire. I'm talking about fires.
Fires.
And it had me, you know, at a point in my life that I knew it was the only thing for me to do was to holler for help. And so in the midst of doing that, I found out later on where it said, whosoever will, let him come. That's you have to try and pull yourself. I heard all those things, you know. And
yes,
I decided to do that. And so had I tried to get out of it by myself like I did, I would have stayed in there longer because I seen that it didn't work for me trying to get out of it. I done all that I could do. And then once I made that call and got that divine connection, it's a continuation to what came from that. It was a reminder that he reminded me. That's a scripture in the Bible, according to Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. It says, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ had made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. That was fire. That was a major fire, and he gave me an instruction. He told me, and be not entangled again. What that meant to me was, he said, I made you free because you came to me. And since I know without a doubt that he made me free, now I got to stand fast. He said, you got to always be firm in your walk with me every day. Don't never take your own inventory. Don't take no inventory with nobody else because you'll be out of bounds. You see what I'm saying? Some people might like being in the fire. So you be an example. That way, if somebody see you stand firm, then they can ask you how you got out of the fire, and then guess what I have to do? I have to tell them. I have to tell them at that point. I don't force it on nobody. I keep it real simple, man, because it was no joke being in the fire I was in. That thing was too hot for me, man. I couldn't handle it.
You know, I'm going to speak to 5497 and 039 right quick, and then I'm going to ask 3072 a question. I ask myself, is there an example? See, you know, and what we saw in doctoral research is that in the tradition of qualitative research is we do observation and participation. You understand what I'm saying? Y'all with me? 5497.
Yeah.
We observe and we participate among other people. All right. So I asked myself, is there another person or set of humans that have ever been in a fire before? And if they have, what they do? And you know what came to my mind, Don? Brother Rich? Meshach and Abednego. I'm starting to get happy. Y'all work with me here now. They went in the fire. They had two options. They had two options. Either do like you told, get with the program, or we're going to burn you up. They went in the fire. What they found out is my God, I felt my help right there. You can go in the fire, but if you take him with you, he'll cool down.
Sound like
you a blaze
of it. Yes, amen.
I didn't come to preach. But you can go in the fire in your life. Fires are going to come. But if you take him with you, he'll take Now, look at the fire, y'all. Look at the fire. Can y'all see it? When the fire, my son to go Boy Scout camping, and we would build a fire that was 6 feet wide. Sometimes it got up to 5 feet in the air. And in the middle of the night, man, we sit there staring at the fire as it's popping the wood and what have you. And I noticed that right in the middle of the fire was where it was the hottest, that blue flame. Y'all ever seen the blue flame?
Oh, yeah.
It's the blue flame that if you keep the blue flame going, you can keep the fire alive, and it needs oxygen. But if you take, Pastor Waller, if you take your rock of ages in the fire with you, man, he'll call the blue flame to calm down. Let me ask 3072 a question. 3072, help me out.
It's
hard. Can you help me out, 3072?
Okay.
With
that in mind.
3072.
Is that
your favorite song,
3072?
No.
That's my son.
Oh,
he's going to play the guitar.
Hey, he's going to pick it up for us.
Now, yeah, he want to play the guitar for y'all.
Oh, man. Okay, hold on one second. So, 3072, in reality...
Yeah.
We are oftentimes faced with challenges, and we all of us, I think, find ourselves wanting to just give up and wanting to just basically forget about it. I quit.
Been there, done that one. Yep.
At what point do we find the strength, though, to carry on?
Personally, I find the strength, again, when I know, when I honestly within myself know that I changed around some things to try to change the situation. I did all that I could do, and I prayed. And so guess what? If all of that didn't remedy it or cut it out or whatever the situation, then I accept that and I move on to something else.
Mm-hmm.
That's no longer
in
my hands. It's not for me to worry about at that point after that.
But you didn't feel bad that you lost it? You lost something.
Yeah. Yeah, I did, possibly.
People don't talk about you.
But I don't care. I ain't never been one to care about that. But, you know, and it could be that the thing that I lost was not good for me or not meant for me to have. I mean, so it's okay. It's okay. And honestly, after I done sweated after it all of that time and it's still bringing just a negative, then I'm gonna have to shake it loose anyway. I mean, because it's weighing me down at that point.
I see. So maybe you were just making room to get drop the zero, so you get yourself with a hero. That's what I'm hearing.
That's it.
Maybe that's what
it
is. Maybe that's what it is.
Yeah.
All right, brother. Hey, we got 1098 done joining us. How you doing, 1098?
Good. Just waking up.
All right. You've been working all day, huh? Hey,
oh, yeah,
appreciate you joining us.
Yeah.
Hey, 5497, before we leave, I want to hear a little bit of that guitar, man. I want a little bit of that guitar.
Okay.
Before we leave, we got about 38 minutes, but then maybe the last 5 minutes, we'll hear a little bit of that guitar. I want to see what he can do. But listen.
I can't do too much. My mouth.
Huh?
I can't do too much. My dad used to play guitar. Yeah, I just got one. I just play a little bit. I'm not that good. I'm not that good. I just play a little bit. Just a little
bit. All right, bro. That's all right. Just stay with it. We got about 37 minutes. So if in case you're just joining us, this is Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Doctrine. And we are talking from the topic of how to put out the fires in your life. I'm going to tell y'all something now. I done went broke 8112 trying to help everybody put their fires out. And I looked back behind me, and my whole house done burned down. And I asked myself, what's wrong with you? And then I got mad 8112. You know who I got mad with?
You?
No, I got mad with God. So I squared up, threw my dukes up. And then I realized, 1098, my arms were too short to box with them. So I just went on set down somewhere. I just went on set my tail down somewhere. But I say that laughingly, but the truth is, there are times in our lives where we get to a point where life will tell you when you're off point. Life will tell you when you're off point. And you got to be in a position to where you have the wherewithal to know when to hold up and to know when to fold up and know when to run. Some of us don't know how to do that, though. Some of us don't know how to do that. We don't know how to get down. Well, talk to me about that, Don. Talk to me, Brother Rick. Talk to me about that.
Well, I'm going to tell you. You know, I love older people. And when I think of older people, one of the things that comes to mind is the past, present, and the future. Okay.
Okay.
And it's something that older people will always tell you is to be kind to others, and they just tell you
Go ahead.
Hello.
Okay.
Hey, hold on there, Brother Sawyer. Go ahead, John. Finish your thought.
It's always the little things that older people always tell you, and it's one thing that I was told when I was young, and it's funny with this conversation as you talk about putting the fires out in yourself, and I just want to tell y'all about the first fire hall that I knew about. Y'all want to know the name of the first fire hall that I was about? It was from an older person, my grandmother. The name of the fire hall is called Jesus is the answer for the world today.
Okay.
Above him there's no other, because Jesus is the way. See, once we find that out, we good. It's just so that Adam that don't want to seek the truth, because the truth hurts.
It does.
It hurts.
It does.
People don't want to know the truth.
It does.
I'm done.
You're helping me now. Because let me bring in Brother Sawyer here in Nashville, Tennessee. He is, he was on the show, on another show I have. He's running for governor here in the state of Tennessee. But what I appreciate about him is that he has a heart for change. Welcome to our discussion. We're talking about how to put out the fires in your life. Question or comment there, Mr. Sawyers, Robert Sawyers?
I would just say I'd like to comment on that. That is a very interesting analogy of the fire. Who would have put it out?
Okay.
I like it, so that's something that I can learn from.
Okay. We got some callers on. We got one from Peoria, Illinois, one calling from Florida, and I think New York. We lost New York there, and we got a couple callers here from Nashville. 8112, what do you think about our whole premise? Now, first of all, 8112, I done took the devil's head off now. I done stepped out of the devil's role. I'm back in me now. I'm back to myself. So this me you talking to now. You ain't talking to the devil no more, okay?
All right.
What do you think about, though, this whole idea that we can't even wait on God to make the choice to acknowledge where we are and what we have to do for ourselves? What do you think about that, 8112?
I personally think that God don't always come just because you call him. He come when you need him. And when you need him, he'll show you that.
Okay.
And once he show it to you, you don't have to worry about putting your fire out. Because fire comes in different shape, forms, and factors. And we all have different fires. Some can be extinguished. I don't think God is ever on vacation, because he surrounds us all day, every day. That's what I think. And I don't think he takes a vacation. I think he sits back and your life is already pre-planned out. So you're born in this, and that means you already going to make mistakes within your life. Now, what you do after you reach a certain age, that's up to you. He'll give you the choice to make some decisions on your own. Some of them he'll put in your face where you won't have a choice but to fall on your knees, and ask for his mercy and his help.
I get you. So is it fair to conclude, guys, that the things that happen to us in our lives are merely God moving in a way that we learn from them? And if y'all heard my monologue, I said to you that oftentimes our character is not measured by all the stuff that we go through and how ugly we look going through it, but how we respond to it and how we maintain ourselves. So could it be that God in his own way is trying to set us up?
No.
It's a setup for a comeback.
No. tell us something. Sometimes when we don't pay attention and don't listen, that song, and I love that song, God is trying to tell you something.
I see.
So when
I see.
He's showing it to you and telling it to you, you won't have no choice too much but to listen.
Yes.
Once again.
Let me go to Outkast. He was Outkast. You said no, emphatically no. Talk to me about that.
No.
Okay.
God tells no, death no one when you're going through trials and tribulations. You're not supposed to do that according to the book of James. But I rest
okay.
My
wait. Now, not so fast. Run that by me one more time. Explain it to me like I'm 3 years old.
Explain it to you like you're 3 years old. Well, thing is, it did. Life going to get a test. You're going to learn a lesson later.
Oh, I see.
Just bottom line, you know, I mean, you know, we, in our lives, we all going to go through trials and tribulations. You know what I'm saying? But,
right.
You know, God tests no one. You know, God don't do that.
Okay.
You know, I mean, according to Scripture, you're familiar with that Scripture. Will you quote it, please?
Well, so, what was the text again? So, for reference sake, what was the text?
God tells no one. You going through trial and tribulation, you don't supposed to turn around and say, you know, God is putting you through this. You know, God has nothing to do with that.
So I was going to ask you, Outkast, what about the circumstance of Job? Job was, according to all measures, an upright man, did everything right, and you know, he was on the up and up, and yet he lost everything.
Right.
So let me read the text you were talking about right quickly, just for context for everyone else. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot tempt with evil, neither tempteth he any man. That's what you're talking about, right? It's James.
Right.
In the context of what James was talking about is he was talking about rich people and people that were in lofty positions being made low. And the suggestion was that somehow God is taking something away from you. And I think what he was looking at is the fact that, and this is what I've been hearing in our conversation too, and that is that if we recognize the need to not try to do our thing but to be in his will, then he's not going to challenge that. He made it perfectly available and clear to us. But sometimes what happens, Outkast, I believe, that we get a little big-headed and we think we're doing something of in ourselves. That, you know, you understand what I'm saying? We really don't need God to accomplish certain things. And then we fall on our face. Then we fall on our face. We say, God did that. He messed me up. He failed me. He was on vacation.
Right.
And he didn't come when I want him. When in reality.
But, you know, I mean, even going back to the book of Job, you know, I like what Elihu stated, but at the end of the day, you know, you see what happened. You know, I mean, you know, I like his Bible, you know.
When there's
comments on, you know, why God did this or why God did that. God, even God didn't do that. I mean, you know, like, you know, that was Satan. You know, Satan did that, you know. When you first open the, when the book first starts off, you know, in a sense, you know, God had nothing to do with that. You know, I mean, that was Satan himself.
Go ahead, Brother Rich.
Okay, I don't like when God has me to be the opposition of any conversation,
okay.
But that's me. He uses me for, or whatever he may use the other person for, it's almost like a battery. You have your positive and your negative. When God took my aunt away, when he took my grandmother away, I was furious.
Okay.
But it wasn't so much I was furious at him, okay? So I was like, I was trying to figure out, like, God, why am I mad? And guess what he told me? Son, you have no business. You have no business being mad. They spent their time here to teach you and others. Now, for the ones that didn't learn anything, that's on them. But they're not dead. So when God allows you to fall and he doesn't pick you back up, you probably went through the same thing 20 times. So he going to continue to let you when you don't put him first. Oh, okay. All right. Well, you keep doing what you, for example, okay, God, I want a good man or a good woman. He's going to give you what you ask for. We have to be specific. So when we fall and he's not there, what the first thing folks get to doing? God, you maybe, God ain't did nothing. He tried to help you. He told you, seek me, which is the truth, and I'll give you what you want. People don't want to seek the truth. When you asking God for things, okay, not I'm not gonna say things, materialistic things, but things that you want in your life, personal wise, you know, a helpmate. You have to be specific. Okay?
Okay.
So whatever it is, if you want a job, you have to be specific about the kind of job that you want. If it's a particular car, hey God, I want a car. He'll give you a car. But it's not going to be the one that you actually asked for. We have to be specific.
Coming to you, Brother Sawyer.
I have heard many a time that you have to be specific when you're asking the Creator for a favor or to change something in your life. But what I have realized, when you are specific, that means that you have took control of your thought process, and you want him to deliver what you want. It's not a choice. I want it like this. And he knows that if he give it to you like that, you'll just be going around one time. But if you be patient with it, well, then he will give it to you in general where you can use it in more than one way. So I think that, you know, patience is the virtue of God's will, because it's hard for us to see from the beginning with the natural eye. That's about it.
Now, Pastor, I fully respect what you said to the fullest, but I'm going to tell you, when we ask them, God, for things, and to a certain extent, I agree with you, okay? We have to say, because his blood is running through us. Our blood is not running through him. You understand what I'm saying? He wants the best for us.
Right.
We can't have the best for him. You understand what I'm saying? He wants us. See, we've been so taught to think in this old Negro spiritual way. We better get out of it. Because a lot of the subliminal messages that go on in the Bible, it's almost the same way. I'm not trying to change how God wants us to do things, but from how he teaches me, failure is the best teacher. So when he lets you fall, it's a reason. He's letting you fall. You're not doing your part.
Okay. So, gentlemen, let me do this so we don't drift too far away from our topic for tonight, and that is how to put – I know these things are related, and I appreciate the dialogue, but I don't want us to drift too far away from our topic, how to put the fires in your life, put out the fires, excuse me, in your life. We still got 20 minutes if you want to – thank you, Murphy, for shooting us that day. I hope we responded and answered your question accordingly. That was one of our Facebook followers. The number you want to call in, 657-330-944. This is Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. And Pastor Ricky Wall is on with us, our co-host. He's laying back in the cut. You know, they're laying back in the cut, but we're going to hear from him again in a minute. Thank you, Brother Sawyers, for joining us tonight. First-time caller here. on Talk Straight. So let's bring it back home for a second. And I miss New York. We dropped New York some kind of way. I don't know what happened, but we hopefully he'll get back with us there. I want to go back to a point, excuse me, that I made in the monologue. And that is, we talked about the proper use of a fire extinguisher, and just if I may just do a brief review. Okay. They say you point it directly at the fire. You aim your extinguisher for where you're going. You squeeze the trigger, and you sweep from a side-to-side motion at the base of the fire. As related to the fires in our life, I suggested that relative to sweeping, that we have to clean our inner circle. People that's been close around us, and that could hit family members. That's why I want to, just for a few minutes, I want to talk about that. And let me go to you, Pastor Waller. How important is it to let everybody know, especially our family members, what our, even if we've had a rough life and we're taking a new direction, sometimes they take us for granted. They don't think we're serious. And, oh, you can't do that. I know what you used to be. I remember when you used to be an alcoholic and you used to can't do this and can't do that. Pastor, how important is it for us to make the choice to clean some of those people away from around us?
I mean, well, you know, as I said, as it being personal, and this is one of the things that I like to always put emphasis on, and at 37-2, you remember me saying this often, and most of you have, Pastor Dr. Shure, you have, I don't trust myself. The reason why I don't trust myself is because that fire does not look like it's doing any harm sometimes. And it can get on everybody around you, family members, you know, people in the community, you know, because that's the kind of fire that I was in. I was in one that looked good, that sounded good, that felt good, and people gravitated to that fire. And so in order for me to do something to help them, I had to first help myself, and I couldn't help myself, so I called on the helper to help me help myself. And in doing that, you know, I was able to remind those people who sometimes don't believe or not convinced or just having a hard time believing, because you made the fire look good yourself. You know, and that's what I did. I made the fire look mighty good. I made the fire look attractive. You know, hey, let me get into what he's into. And it caused the whole community to go and to become corrupted by me being in the fire. So I needed help to get me out of that fire. I couldn't use that fire extinguisher because what happened, I didn't know how to hold it. I didn't know how to spread it from side to side, as you shared so I would say perfectly. You know, I mean, I'm glad I didn't have to use it, but I knew the one who is the way maker, you see. And when I got with him, he just told me to get inside his wheel and go ahead on and snort your hair around while you're in my wheel. I'm not going to tell you to stop. I'm just going to give you strength to know that when I do remove it, you don't ever have to go back again. And that's how you can help the people in the community to become convinced, because they're going to have a hard time. Man, you made the fire look good. What do you mean you're not doing it anymore? That's the reason why it's not easy, but you got to go home and tell your family members in spite of what they want to hear or not. I'm going to say this in terms of to you. There's a word that says, go home to your friends and tell them what the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you. You see, and that's what I had to do. I had to go do what I was assigned to do, because that was in the Bible. You know, that demon-possessed guy, he was in the fire, man. But once he got free, you know, he had to go tell somebody how he got free, and that's the benefit of being able to keep the fires out in yourself and in your community and your family and things like that. By being a good example, that's what we need. Yeah, yeah. It wasn't easy, but I need to come.
I'm sorry. Pastor, I wanted to add something to what you're saying, if I might. You know, you made a good point. We got to realize that it's different types of fires. You don't put an electrical fire out the same way you put a paper fire out. And you don't put a paper fire out the same way you put a grease fire out. Are y'all walking with me?
Yes, I am.
Yes, sir. So we got to make sure that we not only recognize that there's a fire, but we examine our situation and our lives to know exactly what the nature of the fire is.
That's right.
Because, see, Go ahead. Who was that?
It comes in different shapes, forms, and factors, as I stated earlier. Your fire may come in a different way. It depends on where your fire is coming from and how it's created.
Wow. And you know what, Diane? You know what, Diane? Sometimes we allow the wrong people to stay around and close enough to us, and they keep them fires alive for us. Help
some
me, Holy
them.
Ghost. Some of them
of them is out of our control until we take control of it.
Well, watch this. Watch this, Diane. If you constantly hanging around me and you keep on keeping a bunch of mess up, I got to drop you like a bad habit.
I said that earlier. Remember when I said I had to kick my feet up in the air and I'm 4'11", weighing 100 pounds? Kick it up so high. You can't believe I did.
Uh-huh.
It had to happen.
Right.
You got to
get up out of
here with me. Because I take a box of salt and throw it all through the whole house. And
there
take
you go.
And
Brother Sawyers, you know what happens oftentimes? We want to try to be loving and open and embracing of everybody, but the reality is, all looks ain't light, and all dogs don't bite. Everything that shine ain't gold, so it ain't good for you. What about that, Brother Sawyer?
Hey, I'm all in with that. And look, if you don't have a connection with the Creator, this thing can be hidden for many a year.
Wow. And we're going to blind. No, we're in the dark about it, right? Well, man, I tell you what, Don, you. I'm still thinking about this vacation, man. Don't you mean Don took a nap on me, man? You took a nap on me?
Well, once again, it's, you know, like the young lady said, you know, earlier. It's not so much of a vacation. I don't look at it as a vacation, you know, because it is, once again, you know, like the young lady said, you know, when we call up on him, he's not going to come when we want him. No. You have to go through what you have to go through because he's given us the answers so many times. I say things, I don't word them. My mother tells me this all the time. Son, season up your words when you're talking about the Lord. Well, you know, for so many years, you know, you have people like Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, that have talked, and during you all's time, Doc, those were some good times. Look at where we're at right now. Nobody's willing to even stand in the fight. Everybody's on fire. The young people, the old people, everybody's on fire. Nobody wants to get the answer. Nobody wants to understand how do we put this fire. Everybody's confused in the churches and out of the church. So when you hear someone like myself to bring things to simple terms, I may put a little seasoning salt with a little garlic powder. I'm not just going to put just a little seasoning or a little sugar to make it sweet like normal people do. I'm going to put it to you where it's the truth, and you're going to say to yourself, I don't like Brother Rich. I don't want to hear him no more. And the majority of the people that I talk to, that's what they say. I don't listen to Brother Rich. He talked too much truth. Nobody want to. The truth is the water. That's the water to put outside in yourself. So,
but sometimes it's not what we say to people. It's how we say it and who we saying it to.
Amen.
Everybody is not as strong, especially those young folks that don't. And I say, God forgive us foolish ones. Because when you don't know, just because somebody going to walk up and tell you,
and you used to doing things your way,
mm-hmm.
you won't believe it.
No, that's a good point.
It's going to take more than one time. It may take
right.
you a life. But if there may be one word that you do say that may say, give them putting thought in their head where they say,
Okay.
I wonder could there
okay.
be some truth in that?
So you make a good point. You make a very good point. Now, we look at the time, man. We got under 10 minutes here. But as far as what we do as we wind down, we try to give everyone an opportunity to give a final thought here. But before I do that, I wanted to recap some of what we're saying. So the truth of the matter is that there are some certainties in life. And one of them that we can rely on is that we're subject to be challenged. Don't take it personal, though, right? And look for the lessons to be learned. And
mm-hmm.
and what we can conclude, I believe, from our discussion tonight is that what makes us strong is the trials. In fact, there's one text that says, in the world, you're going to have tribulation. But be of good
yeah.
cheer, for
yes,
I, who is this I? This is the Son that came to be an example for you and I. He said, I have overcome the world. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Don't take it personal. Go and do your thing. And when you get through, give me the glory. And anything will be all right.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all excuse my sleep, my street vernacular. I'm just, sometimes when I get happy, I go in and out of formal and informal registry. You understand. You know what I'm saying, don't you?
I do. But, like, if I could just say one more thing. It would be to the sense of knowledge that I have through experience where then I have learned that the Creator, He will deliver me from any situation that I'm in when I ask Him. But the thing about that is what I learned is He's trying to prepare you for another situation that
all
is
right,
coming
right.
upon you that you're going to need to be strong for. And if you're not strong
right.
enough, this next situation hits you, it can take you out. So do you want to live and be able to spread His word, or do you want to let this one adversary situation take all the air out of you? So
wow.
I have learned
wow.
that maybe I need to go through that in order to be stronger for the next challenge that comes my way.
Great point. You know, one of the benefits of sending your children out to a public school or to a playground or park with other children when they're young at a certain age is because they build up an immunity to certain common germs that most children have. They get a cold
correct.
And they get sick, but once they get over it, their body will have built up an immunity. And that's what you're
that's
saying,
right.
Brother Sawyer, that when you go through the trouble, go through the fire, and you learn from it, you build an immunity to the fire. That's something. Let me tell you that today.
You told me that today, too.
Like a good little nerd pill, and I don't even like pills, but I love the way you put things where I can understand and relate.
All right.
Just talk straight to me, as you call it.
All right, 8112. We're going to talk straight. Give us a final thought, 8112, before we get out of here.
You know, I said I didn't want to say it. I said, oh, I hope they don't call my name to say nothing.
Uh-oh.
But I really, no. I got positive messages, excuse me, coming from every direction. And usually when I get off, even if I go to bed and Lord bless me, when He blesses me to wake up, there's something that I'm thinking about that has been said on this station. I think it's a beautiful thing. It's a positive thing, and I think it's helping me even. And that's really good to me.
Okay. Okay. All right. Well, we appreciate you being here. I mean, you know, I saw the sunshine you brought in the door with you. So I want you to know you lit up my life today.
Well,
we appreciate
so much,
you.
Mine too.
All of you guys.
Okay. What about 3072? Final thought before we get out of here?
No, I just enjoyed the show. I'm just listening.
I know you and Outcast be working. Y'all work those evenings here. We appreciate you guys tuning in with us. We're glad you're sticking in there with us. We recognize that. All right, well, thank you so much. We appreciate that. What about it, Bro Rich? Final thought before we get out of here?
I think one of the things that I'm just overjoyous about is the fact that black folks, men and women, can come together, talk about a particular conversation. Some agree, some disagree. You know, and we still love each other regardless of the situation. This is how it's supposed to be. Okay? This is how it's supposed to be. Being able to agree to disagree. Because it's one thing that we agree on. We all love the Lord, and God has all of us on a journey. I'm done.
All right. Hey, man, we appreciate you for joining us tonight, brother. We sure do. Thank you again.
No problem.
What about it, man?
Oh, no comment.
All right.
No
hey,
comment.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. I know you've been working, and we caught you on the tail end of your nap there. You know, messed up that man's nap, boy. I ought to be ashamed of myself. Thank you,
nah.
Thank you, Brother Outcast. We appreciate you. All right. My guest tonight, Governor Sawyers?
All right. I just thank you, Senator Rubin. I just thank you for letting me tune in and hear some more and hear some more conversation, because you never get too old to learn.
That's right. I find myself always learning. So we're lifelong learners. That's what we are. Well, thanks for joining
Daddy.
Us tonight. We appreciate that. With that, we're gonna go. My guitar man left me. I was trying to get my guitar man. But he New York got away from us. Pastor Waller, round us up, and we got about 2.5 minutes here, sir.
Man, I praise God, man, for everybody who had a chance to talk personally about the fires that was in their lives. And
yes,
when
sir.
You got a group of people gathered down firm on the word of God, as it says, where there's two or three gathered together in his name, touching and agreeing, that he would be in the midst of them. And so we thank God for being in the midst. Now, to conclude the whole matter, is whatever was personal, it belonged to you. And then when you put it all together, the word of God says, stir up the gifts. So when the gifts are being stirred up and everybody's on one accord, God's plan is being ordered, because he said the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord.
Okay.
So we just thank God for his prayer and allowing this to be effective tonight. So just be encouraged and know that God got everything that we stand in need of.
All right. Well, we appreciate that, sir. You've been listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery, Pastor Ricky Waller, our co-host, and great callers here. We've had our guest, Brother Robert Sawyers, on with us tonight as well. We're grateful for you tuning in to us, and we'll be back Thursday night. Now, the next few weeks is going to be kind of busy for us on the campaign trail, so we may have to lean on Pastor Wild a little bit there, but we appreciate all you guys joining us tonight, and we'll be back this Thursday night with another episode of Talk Straight. Somebody talked about a love train. A lot of love train. People all over the world.